This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Stephen Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I have no clue what it is you're doing at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that you decided to do that do with me. There's a whole lot of things that's going on in the news. Let's just agree. That makes no sense for me to bring a guest into this studio anytime before at least Monday of next week, because all y'all want to talk to me about is the goings-on of governance and what's happening with the new administration and what's happening with the old administration. And isn't it funny that the former prime minister is still referring to the government as the opposition? I thought that was so interesting. You know, he says they're going to have to force them to stay on track with the policies that his administration left in place. We can all share together in a little laugh. Ha, 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 ha. That will not ever happen. Also in the news this morning, I see that there's something that's taking place. And I understand the Minister of Foreign Affairs' reason for it. This morning's Nassau Guardian, Jasper Ward, is reporting that the government has halted all promotions approved in the public service and at the public corporations in the last few weeks of the minister's administration. Minister of Foreign Affairs and Public Service Fred Mitchell revealed yesterday, adding that cabinet will review those promotions. Mitchell's comments followed the leak of a water and sewage corporation document, which indicated that promotions at the corporation, which went into effect on September 1st, were rescinded. The communication dated September 23rd, 2021 reads, "Reference is made to our letter dated September 14th, 2021, advising you of your recent promotion. Per directive received from the general manager, please note that all promotions effective September 1st, 2021 have been placed on hold pending." And so I get it. Fred Mitchell says that the Honorable Minister of Foreign Affairs says that these things need to be reviewed. I'm not exactly sure if that is the common practice. I recall having been a member of the public service, promotions typically are not unusual to be seen around the date of elections, particularly if there's been quite a lull. Governments try to get them done before the time is up. We have to recall that the last administration called an election 9 months ahead of time. And so definitely there was a move afoot to have this done. We can argue that the fact that a list was already compiled and ready for consideration must mean that they were trying to do it before the months leading up to a general election. Notwithstanding, they were the government. The prime minister is the only person that knows the date of an election because there are no fixed election dates in the Commonwealth. And since that is the case, obviously the prime minister snapped this one in such a fashion that it caught his own public service and public corporations off guard. Now, I do wish, though, to see that we move as a nation from this token system of promotions. Like, I have had the opportunity to serve alongside members of the U.S. Army, and they do a wonderful little thing there that I thought we should have someone understudy look at and try to have it implemented in the way we practice our promotion exercises and schemes. A man or a woman ought not be rolling dice or die, right? More than one dice is die, about whether or not he and or she will be progressing in their professional arena. Why? People hinge all kinds of things on this. Whether or not they're going to get that mortgage that they've always desired. Whether or not they're going to have that last child they always considered. Whether or not they're going to begin to look into colleges for the child that is finishing school. Whether or not, I don't know, they're going to look at that second home on a family island. Whether or not they're going to consider staying in the profession for a longer period of time or whether they're going to transition on. And so what we cannot do is pretend as though people are not attached to these titles. All right? What we cannot do is pretend as though it doesn't affect people's personal life when we touch their professional life in this fashion. Many people hinge many things on these promotions. And one of the reasons I left the public service is because I decided that I never wanted to put my life in a position where someone could determine whether or not I was being a good enough boy in order to have favorable conditions visited upon me. That, and besides, I realized that the public treasury was in a rut and that there was absolutely no way that I could in good faith continue to collect a salary from a public treasury that I knew was strapped for cash and going to pay me a pension. I thought that I would go and fend for myself and create opportunities. That's part of the reason I'm not in the public service. So any other story that you've ever heard is a lie. But I think we ought to now have a structured promotional system. Like, we ought to, a man ought to know that there will be a promotional exercise every 3 years. In order to be qualified for promotions, we are going to have a point system. In that point system, here are how you gain points. Favorable annual reports, 5 points. Academic and scholastic improvement, 10 points. Deployment, 25 points, depending on where the area is, right? Because I don't care how smart you are, if you are a soldier that has difficulty deploying, I don't want you anywhere in command. Knowledge and capability to operate in on different platforms, 10 points, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so when we decide that, okay, there's going to be a promotional exercise in June of 2022, all persons that meet the point scale of 225 and above, up to 100 persons, shall be considered for promotions. Now me, Marine Seaman Nobody, knows that there is a promotion afoot. I can now look at my own score, because the onus should be upon me to enter my documents into my personal file that should be in an electronic record-keeping cloud somewhere. And I can say, okay, I'm down to 205, I'm down to 210. I need to come up with an additional 15 points. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a crash course and do two of these, the 30-day course, in I don't know, warehouse management. Boom, and I'm going to add those to my curriculum, right? Then there may be a deployment that I don't mind going on. And I say, you know something, sir, I haven't deployed in over 14 or 18 months. There is an opening in Abaco for my rank presently. I'd like the opportunity to deploy for the next 6 months. That now gives me an additional 10 points. And by the time as the promotion comes around, I know for a fact that I am in shooting range. And we can do away with this nonsense of a man has been in a rank for a long enough period of time, and as a consequence, we have to bump him to the next rank. Because then we end with complete and absolute incompetence at the top. And we end up with a fellow there who is interested in more than nothing except for collecting a salary and a pension. So I hear Mr. Mitchell, and I understand, you know, they want to make sure that, I think some of the reasoning is a bit interesting. Like, you know, we want to make sure that they haven't put their people in place to obstruct us. But outside of that, like, I mean, like, I want us to do public service and public servants right, and make sure that they're able to plan their lives around things like promotions. Make them accountable for their own promotion. So do not come to me as your immediate supervisor and say that you weren't promoted when you got all your certificates home in your drawer and you never uploaded them to your database. Now, when we were considering persons, we couldn't consider you because you did not take the onus upon yourself to have your files and documents uploaded to your personal electronic file. What we've done in the past, I've found, is we've left that up to a divisional officer, divisional senior aide. A divisional officer or divisional senior aide must now tell my commanding officer that he enjoys my deportment. That could very well mean that I pick his sweetheart up every Friday at 12. But what exactly does that mean? My bearing and conduct is pleasing to who? How are we expecting people that go and spend God knows how much time and even more money trying to make themselves professionals only to then come and be subjected to the dictates of someone based on whether or not they had a GI problem or not? If my divisional senior rates ulcer is flaring today, I may get a bad report, notwithstanding what I've done. And so if we're going to create a meritocracy, it has to start within the public service. And the reason I argue is because that is the largest employer around this place. They must get it right. And if it means going into the private sector and figuring, and not one of these hodgepodge point systems, you know, because they did have one when I was in service, this thing where you get between 1 and 5, right? And it's only 6 very small categories. And this is completely based on my divisional senior aide's feelings toward me, right? Because he and I, may never agree about anything. I may think the guy is a stark idiot. Does that mean I am a bad soldier, though? I may tell him, sir, I believe that you are the most misdirected human being on this planet. But you are my commanding officer, and if these are your instructions, I intend to carry them out. Please note, I accept no responsibility for breaking up the government stuff. Because I'm following your instructions that I'm telling you now, I think make no sense. And because I voiced that as an opinion, all right, I am now seen as a Marine what did that guy write about me? Whose zeal outruns my rank. And so that is where people in the public service find themselves. And while we are out here all having a hakiki moment about the fact that, ha, they try to promote a bunch of F&Ms, it only feels good as long as it's not your sphincter they're massaging. And so we as a collective have to demand more from the people that are over us. Like, the country must treat us all well, regardless of when it happened or who caused it to happen. That is just where I am on that. The second thing that I'm talking about this morning is the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister was wonderful, wasn't he, at the UN. I saw everybody seem to be quite pleased with his presentation. If I'm clocking him, I'm giving him a 78. I mean, it was better than typical Philip Davis fashion. Definitely, he looked very poised. I completely enjoyed the fact that he's learned to, you know, use his voice. Of course, it's going to take some time. He's new in the role. It's only 9 days. This is his first UN speech delivery that I'm aware of. I think he did okay. I imagine that it's a nerve-wracking experience to be in a room with every power player around the region. And for whatever it is worth, I thought he came out pretty okay. I want to tell them to put the Prime Minister in a purple tie. Something about a purple tie always makes Mr. Davis look so much more commanding in my eye. But he wore a blue tie, which I thought was a nice subtle gesture. And he also mentioned some things that I thought were quite interesting. Like, he talked about the UN not being able to continue to allow this aggression towards Cuba to happen and not say anything. He talked about how the world wouldn't be safe until the Caribbean and small development island nations were all safe, and that there was no need for us to come here and talk about, you know, solidarity in the fight against COVID-19 if larger countries were going to hoard all of the vaccines, and that, you know, if the smaller countries weren't vaccinated, they would continue to contaminate the world and the larger countries would not be safe. And so I thought it was a brilliant delivery by him. Not brilliant. Let me dial that back a bit. Not brilliant. It was good. It was good. 78% is what I'm going to give him on it. I want the Prime Minister to work on his crescendos, though, right? Because he had such a powerful speech. He just didn't land it for me. You know, he didn't take me home. And it happens. You see it in public speaking all the time. If you go to an eccentric worship center like I do, right? When Rev go in high gear and Rev tell the keyboard player, take me to E and let me go home, right? That's because now he needs to crescendo his voice in a way that gets the message, that soaks you in the message, if that makes sense. Mia Motley was also there. There's no need for me to even continue. Mia Motley was absolutely amazing. And she did it extemporaneously. She said, listen, I would read my prepared speech, but I would only be coming here to repeat the things that I've repeated time and time again. And so I've come to ask one question. How many more? How many more small developing island nations must go into bankruptcy trying to protect itself from these catastrophic hurricanes and storms, while you, the bigger countries, allow the faceless few to benefit from carbon emissions? How many more? How many more times are we going to come here and say the same things? How many more? I thought that was very wonderful. I thought it was a good Baptist message. So there's also that. And then lastly, I'm going to open the phone line. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. I'll say it again. 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. You can call me on any one of those numbers. You can text me on 422-4796. There is something that happened over the weekend that I'm not really sure that's the way it's supposed to work. Let me firstly say congratulations to Mr. Chester Cooper, Deputy Prime Minister, Minister of Tourism and Investments in Aviation. But I saw he felt the need to go to Inagua this weekend. And as somebody that's been in law enforcement, let me tell you this. Anytime senior policymakers hit the ground, it is nothing but a logistical nightmare. And it is because they don't understand that on this very small island with about 12 police and maybe 14 or 18 Defense Force Marines, plus whatever reserve capacity is on the island, inclusive of customs and immigration, all together, the complete officer complement on this island is about 50 people. We already have 700 Haitians that we have to watch. You put yourself at risk, you put the ministers that you brought with you at risk, and you deplete the manpower that is probably already overstretched. There is no need to have the second chair on the ground. That doesn't make sense. And you would recall, right? If you follow world history, you will recall that after Katrina, the reason George W. Bush flew over but opted not to land is because they understand the distraction having the office on the ground causes. And so I commend him for wanting to be a hands-on kind of guy. You know, he's built quite a CV over the course of his life, and I imagine that has come from his hands-on approach to many things. But public office requires a level of distancing sometimes, all right? And he came there and said, I'm going to play the video for you. Let me see if I can cue it up for you. Get it, Sally. He came there and said, oh, you know, I just wanted to assure you all that you're going to be safe and that we're going to feed you and we're going to give you clothes. Feed you and give you water, I think it was. I'll play the video. And my whole question was, who was treating them badly before he got there? Like, it's not like there are videos of Defense Force Marines with whips hitting them across the head or anything like that. It's not like we have them in cages like the Trump administration did. So I'm not really sure what was the purpose of the Deputy Prime Minister flying 386 miles away from the capital to go and speak to immigrants that illegally entered the waters of the Bahamas. And they seem to have had it all under control. Notably missing, though, was the commander of the Defense Force, who I imagine should have been there. And it's because his men are responsible for the arrest. His men are also going to be responsible for the detention. And if not, at least the commander of the Southern Command, I didn't see him either. I think I saw some sub-lieutenant who was too junior for me to even know his name. But I don't know. I don't know if I needed to see the Minister of Immigration, the Minister of National Security, and the Deputy Prime. Think about the risk that creates having that much of the top cabinet portfolio holding people in a place where there's hundreds of people who are quite possibly not vaccinated, who possibly have COVID-19, who didn't have any masks until we issued them to them, and who really, and for all intents and purposes, could have been charged by a magistrate and deported the very next day. Or I just don't understand why we needed a deputy prime minister to go. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Y'all can tell me what you think. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Before I open the line, Ali, let's go to the video so that they see I'm making up stuff on Chester Cooper. And then, well, sorry, the Honorable Chester Cooper, Deputy Prime Minister Gomez of the Bahamas. And then they can tell me what they think, because I don't think it was necessary. I don't know who was putting these immigrants in any kind of jeopardy at all, actually. And there is a pretty standard protocol for the way we treat detainees. And I think the Defense Force has been doing that for 50 years now or 40 years now. And so I think they're pretty skilled at it. I agree with them. There needs to be a housing facility for things like this. You would note that I had recommended while I was in service that they, you know, kind of put the whole training department for all government agencies, law enforcement, in Inagua. That way, the complement on the ground there would always be more than 50 people. And they would have to build facilities like an auditorium for that. And then we could just house them in there. But, you know, I've never sat in the seat of power. So anyway, Chester Cooper, the Deputy Prime Minister, communicating with the immigrants on the ground in Inagua.
We have enough food and enough water. So we ask you to be patient. It's important that you follow the instructions of the officers. We want you to know that you've landed in the Bahamas illegally. Therefore, we will help you, we will process you to return back to your home.
Don't allow us to
And so that is the acting prime minister at the time, Chester Cooper, because the prime minister was out of the jurisdiction. I'm not really sure what was the purpose of the I don't understand it. And again, like I say, people in public office never understand the logistical nightmare they create for law enforcement when they take these field trips, right? Like, so you feel like you're, you know, it's a wonderful time to go down there and see the ground, but literally we are already operating at a wire and, or to the wire, and it doesn't, you know, it kind of just doesn't help the flow of things. Let's take some calls. Come on and call, you're on. Not there, next line. Come on and call, you're on.
Hello.
How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Miller. How are you?
Hey, Sparky.
Right, you know, I've been asking for a long time. When they get these bunch of rickety boats, what do they do with the boats, though?
Sink them. They sink them most times. Or
they bring
them
to town or sink them, or sink them right on them shelves so they can tell you it's a fishing ground.
Well, actually, no. A lot of times what happens is they would either beach them and burn them. And if that is, if trying to get them alongside is too difficult, then they may just sink them at sea.
Everybody just bust a hole in them, sink them, that'll become fishing ground. Because eventually they're going to be cutting down all them bush around them mountains for firewood, for cooking, for building boats. They're going to run out of boat. They're going to run out of boat and they can't swim. And they're going to be able, you mean to sink them boat and bring, put them on board our boat, carry them back, drop them on the beach? But sink them both. They got enough of this.
We're trying
to feed our own people. We don't have enough space in the Bahamas, especially in New Providence, with now 30-something shanty down all there ready, to keep bringing them, putting them down in detention center, doing all kind of foolishness. And we even ain't taking care of our own people. How we could take care of other people? And we don't even feed our own people. We give our own people $20 and $30 a week to live on by social services, and we feed these people every time they come here.
Well, we have to, Sparky. Would you
we
want
don't
us to
have
let them
to
stop?
Do that and put them on the Defense Force boat and carry them back and let them swim shore Haiti.
They have to be processed.
It's about hatred. It's go build your own country. We don't need you to come here and tear us down. Build your own country.
Okay. All right. So the thing is, right, that is not the tone I want to take. If people have to be processed, I imagine they have to be fed. I would hope that if, for whatever reason, I found myself in the hands of an immigration department of any country, that they would at least feed me, Sparky. I hope. But, okay, that's how you feel. Let's take another one. Good morning, Carl. You're on.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing?
I'm great.
All right. I have a suggestion. Mr. Host, you know, it's time for us to think outside the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we import 80% of our food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of these immigrants are very skilled when it comes to the farming and the industry. Why don't we set up something like a contract system whereas instead of them taking from the country we begin, let it be an extension to Bamsi. Let them grow some food for us and we hire them on a contract basis, and when your contract up you go home. That would be helping the country of Haiti and it would be helping us at the same time. You don't mm-hmm. think it's time for us to think out of the box and let them help us to help us feed ourselves?
I don't disagree with you. I had said some time back that quite honestly I think what we needed to do was start some sort of a program similar to that. But again,
yes.
You know, it takes a little bit of public engagement, because there will be people like Sparky that don't believe that they can offer us any assistance. So you have to figure out what that assistance
it
looks like.
It isn't the time for Bahamians to be xenophobic. $400,000 people we importing over $1 billion worth of food product. That's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense to me for us to keep going like how we're going. If we grow these things ourselves and have the proper facilities, the food will go down and everybody else. The most essential thing inside this pandemic right now, the government was spending over $200 million on food. That goes to show you how valuable food is. A fella can't think straight if he belly ain't full. If he empty belly, he can't think straight. It's enslaving our people with these food prices. That is a perfect opportunity. We have a perfect opportunity right now to get rid of all of these, to get rid of all of these things right there. And then put down our level of some VAT, because we be able to import pineapples and all these other products. Come on, man, let's think.
Appreciate your caller. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. And I agree. We've got to, you know, I don't believe we have an immigrant problem. I believe we have a thinking problem. I've said that before. I say it again. We've got to figure out how do we engage our own population in a way that makes it palatable to them, but we also have to figure out a way to not just spend millions of dollars in repatriation exercises over decades and decades and decades without there being some direct benefit to the people and the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Let me get a couple of these text messages out of the way. This one here says, Levin, I don't understand in a small country like ours how 100 police officers or government workers can be up for promotion at one time. How can 20 people be up for promotion when only 30 people are in the office? This mass promotion is killing us. It has to stop. I do not disagree with that. Are these Bahamians who got promoted and not an FNM or PLP? They are Bahamians. Doesn't matter whether or not they're PLP or FNM. What I'm saying is, it should your color shouldn't arise if there is a point system. There is no way to you know, kind of jaundice the view of a point system. Either you over the 250 mark or you under the 250 mark. And once you're over, then we are considering you for promotions. We are only accepting promotions in this department from this amount to that amount. And in the U.S. Army, they do this thing. So like they have para rangers, which is the people that jumps out of the helicopters. And then they have bomb technicians, and then they have K-9 technicians. And so in every department, the promotion scale, some promotions come out and no one is promoted because no one meets the threshold, you see? This one here says, so Mr. Miller, tell me, what is the reason for the review by the incoming minister when he has not been in a position to give an assessment of public servants' performance and there is no consistent model of gathering information for said promotion? Think about it. This new day calls for reviewing and updating the protocols and not penalizing any employee. We all have to live, man. I don't disagree. Miller, you see a new day yet? I see Haitians coming. I can see the Haitians are coming as well. Who knows? Maybe in the new day, we'll figure out how to use them. It was risky, potentially violate hostile hostage situation if about 150 head went bad and then whap. I imagine you're talking about the Deputy Prime Minister. This one here say them speeches went through one ear and out the next ear, the big factories pay the UN salaries. There is nothing wrong with Chester Cooper going there. He told them they should return home. And Chester Cooper need to go to tell them that. We could get anyone from a Haitian church to go tell them that. anyone. Like, it doesn't need... So you have to understand the weight of public office, right? Like, Chester Cooper is not just Chester Cooper anymore. He now happens to be the second chair in the cabinet. He's number two. It's not exactly the most tenable situation for him to be on the ground in a pandemic with 900 people that he doesn't know of and our healthcare system has no recollection of or knowledge of. And so he should avoid that kind of thing. If I were him, I would send my Minister of Health, and that would be after they were detained. I wouldn't even send my Minister of Health. I would send a director from the Department of Health, my Commander Defense Force, or his commanding officer for the Southern Bahamas, as well as with whatever other members of the senior command he thought he needed, whoever the officer is in charge of the Southern District of the Bahamas for the police force. And, of course, I saw the senior immigration officer on the ground there. But that would just be to coordinate efforts because that takes a coordinated law enforcement effort. I don't need cabinet ministers on the ground in that instance. That's all I'm saying. This one here says, suppose all of them plead not guilty. Migrants should never have to go to court. We need to stop being lazy and farm ourselves. The U.S. did not send the ones from under the bridge to court in a decorated democratic country. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Morning, comrade. How you doing?
All is well.
Well, I can set my watch by you. Every time I call you, just go read them texts on my cell phone. But listen, let's solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Military, ex-military men.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of times I had to traverse the harbor boundary. And then going out of the harbor or coming into the harbor right over there on Arawaki, which is Arawaki, you see the amount of Haitian sloops to speed here?
On Arawaki?
Yeah, but you'd be right on the side of a custom, bit of old custom.
No, they stopped those about 7 years. Certainly, yeah, I was in service, they stopped.
Yeah, but see, I tried to show you, paint you a picture.
Okay, go on.
At the time when my boat, I used to pilot, I was a bosun on a 150-foot yacht.
Okay.
And we had to dry dock, do some dry docking work at Brown's Boat Basin. Of course, we couldn't get up there, but we had to do some work for them. And two of those sloops came for dry docking. And Levan, as fast as Brown pulled them things out of the water,
mm-hmm.
Brown threw them back in the water and tell them, see, listen, ain't nothing we could do. I say all of that to say this, those sloops, the mass ain't spec, the sail ain't spec, they have no compass, they have no light vest on them, they ain't got nothing a vessel that proposing the harbor should have. It's just like an aircraft that's not FAA approved.
Mm-hmm.
I can solve 70% of this problem right now on the ground. All the Bahamas government got to do is go in that parliament down there and ban those sloops from sailing in Bahamian water.
They already have banned them. So they, as far as my knowledge takes me, the sailing sloops are not allowed to come beyond Inagua. They're allowed to sail as far as Inagua, where they offload their wares and then have their wares shipped to the capital. You still there?
Yeah.
So that has been the rule now for about, I've been out of service 8 years, so that's definitely been the rule for about 10 years. Only the Haitian freight boats still come to Nassau.
Yes, but somebody being slack with the rules. Somebody got to be being slack.
But do you notice that they are now using, these are, I don't know what these are, the sailboat that I saw apprehended in Inagua, if that is a real photo and not some replica of something. I mean, that one got engines on it. Like, it's a sailboat with two, look like 90 horsepower engines on it. You could never catch that thing.
Well, see them, but them brothers up to it. We over here pontificating and stuff like that, and their brothers doing what they got to do. You understand me over there? You understand? But I would ban them. I'd ban them from coming in.
All right.
And enforce that.
Appreciate it.
All right.
323-622-3232-543-16, 325-4259. I think we got to take a break. Let's go to a break. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Don't move. I've got more show. We'll be back after the break.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day, boy.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet this boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I was a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. This one here says, is it proper protocol for top ministers to be off the island at the same time? And I guarantee you they all flew on the same plane. I don't know if there is a travel protocol for the way we do it here in the Bahamas. You would know that most prime ministers travel with several of their cabinet ministers. It's not an unusual thing to see here in the Bahamas. Levin, I am with you. Why in the world did Chester Cooper have to go to Inagua? Wayne Monroe didn't need to go either. I argue that Keith Bell didn't need to go. They will give you their reasons, I imagine. This one just says, I guess this new administration trying to thread carefully given previous allegations, because next thing you know, Fred Smith, QC, come with some kind of mess to challenge the government. But I understand where you're coming from, Levin. How do they process them? What if they don't have any documents? Do they fingerprint them in the event they come back in the Bahamas? Well, they probably won't have documents. The process is to take a picture of them, get their name as they say, fingerprint them, send the fingerprints off to Interpol, make sure none of them are wanted by international police. And as long as that happens, then of course, this is a procedure that took place after I left service, so I don't know. They would then have them hauled off to a magistrate's court. The magistrate will find them guilty of illegally landing and order them deported. Before that, it would just be taken into the detention center where they would be processed. So I think they changed that process a little bit. Let's take a call. Good morning, call, you're on. Is the call there? Next line. Good morning, call. You're on.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
You can hear me?
Loud and clear.
Good morning. Good morning to your listeners. You talk about the word avoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ministers or members of parliament being there. I think we need to avoid them, sending them from Inagua to Nassau. What do you think about that?
Well, you mean the immigrants?
Yes.
Yeah, they're trying to work it out, and he said that we're going to try to deport you from here.
Yes.
But quite honestly, it wouldn't matter, I guess.
Yes, it matter. Listen,
no,
hold on.
Let me tell you why it wouldn't matter, because they would probably bring them on the Defense Force vessel, and the vessel have to come back to Nassau in any event.
Let me tell you why I think it matters. Mm-hmm. Say that again.
If they brought those people back, they would probably bring them on the Defense Force's vessel.
Bring them back where?
If they bring them to Nassau, they would probably bring them on the Defense Force.
That don't never arrive to come to Nassau. Whatever the plan is, you get sent back. Listen, in the past,
mm-hmm.
you have the judge stand there. You get the doctors. You get the nurses stand there to see mm-hmm. whatever health reason they need. You make sure they get food and water, because them things important like you talk about. Mm-hmm. In the past, in the judge being there, we send them straight back
this
to Haiti.
I'm saying that they could do that, but I'm saying...
Hold on, Levan. Uh-huh. Listen. you know, could do it. That's what they're supposed to do. Listen to me. I thought we had a policy where we was arguing for so much years, barking on the radio, saying one day the Haitian man come say he named Paul. The next week he come, he say he named John. We say we can fingerprint them. We
right.
say we can charge them. And so, we say we can send them back.
So if you listen to Fred Mitchell,
uh-huh.
the Minister of Foreign Affairs, what he's saying now is that he doesn't know whether the law ought to require that they be charged before.
Well, what is he talking about? And that's
I'm
the only way we can be
able to. Said, right?
Huh?
I'm just telling you what he said. Well, remember, we didn't always do it that way, you know.
No, we didn't always do it that
right.
way.
So remember, with the change of administration.
Remember
comes the
reason why we did it. In spite of the change of administration, governance is continuous.
Yes.
They was making a mockery of us over here. So we said we could fingerprint them, Levon. You forget?
You could still fingerprint them and not take them to court, though, Papa, is what I'm saying.
Listen, we can put court myself in. No, Mom and Levon. Levon, we try to make it. We try to discourage you, man. Come on, stop playing with this, man. I don't know why. They say 900 because the PLP went. Is that one of the reasons 900? You talk about, you say 90 horsepower power engines on
I
the
think
boat.
That's what
how
I
come
saw.
They ain't going straight to the United States?
I think that's what I saw on the picture. Well, first of all, that boat was very heavily loaded with people, so I don't know
uh-huh.
if they would make it to the United States. But the reason why I pointed out the engines is because I can tell you, a sailing sloop coming from Haiti could make it from Haiti to Nassau in about 5 or 6
But they
days.
Don't need to, listen, Levon, they need to make it from Haiti to America. Where they
I'm
really
saying,
want
Papa,
be,
Papa,
so they can
Papa,
get some
I want
help.
You to take the emotionalism out of it.
No, no, just no emotion. My God, listen
I want
to me
to
carefully what I'm trying to say to you.
You're not listening to me.
Yes.
Listen to me.
Yes, sir.
Normal. The only reason I referenced the engines
mm-hmm.
was because a Haitian sailing vessel can
Could
leave
make it to
Haiti
Nassau.
And make it to Nassau
yeah,
in six
yeah.
days.
No, Levon, they need an engine
still
to
not
make
listening
it to the
to
United
me.
States.
You're still not listening to me.
Okay, sorry.
If they put engines on that boat, that means that they could sail at nighttime as well. Because usually in the day,
mm-hmm.
what would happen is that they would lower their sail
mm-hmm.
and either anchor up underneath one of the keys or something to that effect.
So tell me something, Levon. You think we need to continue this, letting them anchor underneath the keys?
You
I mean, it's only so much we can do.
Me,
Levon, listen, 900 just come the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think it's so much the Bahamas? We get our own problems, Rachel. We even dealing with illegal immigrants, Rachel. We're trying to make sure who's supposed to be
I
straight,
don't disagree
be straight,
with
right?
You. All I'm saying to
Why
you.
Bring them to Nassau, Levon? Send the nurses, send the doctors, send the food, send the judges, and have the court right over there.
We
should have them. We should penalize them.
You and I have no further argument. I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Okay, Levon, I'm trying to get some more information. I just need to see you soon. Just trying to get the information.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 3236232. That's my good friend, Papa. I can let him have that one. But I think Papa is an understanding that I'm telling you, they're changing their mode of operation. And if that is the case, then this may be something we really have a problem with. Agree with the caller, make invasion of Haitian or any foreign beneficial, let them farm the land, rotate, and stop just draining our economy. You have to think about the humane way to go about those things. You can't just put people to work, especially if they are economic refugees, especially if they are refugees of a war-torn state. Didn't we just see the same thing with the Syrian refugees in Canada? Where the people were being bombed and gassed and the Canadian government took those people on? That is how the world works. That is civility. And I know 900 Haitians scare you all. And I know you all keep talking about them taking over the population. But you know that there's an easy way to increase the Bayman population, right? Like all of these 40-year-olds with the one child, y'all could go have 2 children or 3 children or 6 like we was doing in 1972. And then we would have the same amount of children as the people that keep coming here and trying to have children. And we wouldn't have to worry about them overpopulating us because we would be keeping up with the population. The problem is, Bahamians have gone from having an average of 5 to 7 children from 1972 to now. We've gone from 5 to 7 children to 1 or none. Y'all doing this. The same immigrants. This your old gynecologist and the prescription pad. All right. This one here says, with the ramming of the HMBS Bahamas by the Dominican Fishing, the HMBS Bahamas wasn't rammed by Dominicans. I think that was the Madeira. Does the rule of engagement come into play, or do you have any idea of how those officers got them to surrender? They engaged them. Brother Miller, question. Why can't we station a magistrate's court in Agua? One is already there. Use the Defense Force Railroad to transport 300 to 500. And that's another thing. When you talk about taking military ships into different jurisdictions, there is a bunch of red tapes around in that as well. This one here says, why do they have to farm here? They can grow our food from Haiti and supply us. They don't need to be physically here on our land. We can set them up there in Haiti with farms and pay them from here in the Bahamas. And Tex Ryder, I want to say that you are an absolute brilliant human being. I completely 100,000% agree with you. Shakita Banana has been doing the same thing from forever. So has Mahatma Rice from forever. And you look at the bags of those products, you will see they say product of the United States of America. They aren't grown anywhere near the United States of America. As a matter of fact, they grow them in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iraq is where they grow the rice, particularly the jasmine and the balsamic. You could go Google this stuff. And so I agree with you 100,000%. Maybe now that you've said it, they will listen. I've said it until I ran out of breath. Okay, this one here says, good morning. What happened to the $17 million drones? I don't know. Levin, I just heard on the international news that no country can sustain a mass influx of immigrants. So the Bahamas, being a small nation, already has a large Asian population. We don't know what the PLP promised them, but we cannot accept this invasion. And you think the PLP, you think, hold on, Tex Ryder. Let me get this. You believe that a progressive liberal party government with Frederick Audley Mitchell in its cabinet agreed something for Haitians to come to the Bahamas? Man, I want us to have tea in the morning so I can have the kind of tea you have in. Because I'm telling you that is absolute fantasy. If Fred Mitchell could, he would build a fence around the Bahamas. So I don't see the Progressive Liberal Party with a Frederick Audley Mitchell in its cabinet agreeing anything with any immigrant coming to the Bahamas. So I'm not prepared to accept that position. This one here says, that's the reason the farm in Abaco and other parts have the issue they do. Those people were brought here and hired as farmhands too. See the end result? That's why we can't entertain any contract workers here in the Bahamas. This one here says, exactly, I'm aware, so they don't need to be here on any farm. If anything like that is considered, it can happen over in Haiti. All right, let me read this last one. Think I got time for one more call. We can't even take ourselves with minimum wage. How the hell we could take care of four or five? All of them had on PLP t-shirts and have family in Foxhill. Ah, you people give me the best life ever. And listen, I'm willing to argue that you made more money than Mama, Nana, and Titta. And Mama them had 14. Let's take one more before I get out of here, Ali. Good morning, Carly Ron.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Levon.
Hey, how are you?
Not bad. I just wanted to chime in. Sorry, I came in kind of late.
Sure.
But what I wanted to say, you know how terrified those people in Inagua must feel with all those strangers on their island. And you don't know exactly what these people have.
Which is why I think the deputy prime minister
should have gone. They have to be housed in churches that these people worship in and so forth and so on. And not only that, it's going to eventually be a strain on our public purse as it relates to trying to build, like the deputy prime minister said, trying to build a place to accommodate them should any future landings occur.
Mm-hmm.
That must be terrifying for the... I don't think the population of Inagua is, what, 300?
Well, they say their population is 2,500. I've been in Inagua for 7 months. I never see 2,500 people.
Okay, so can you imagine? And then I just want to say this lastly, because I know you've created for time. As it relates to poisons, talking about, we could use them for agriculture purposes, they're quite right. But even in that case, that would have to be a collaboration between the Bahamas and the Haitian government.
Yeah.
And then you would have selected few come here, not people who come here illegally, and then you try to use them for farming. That's not going to work that way.
Right.
Thank you very much
appreciate
for your time.
It,
I wish you had more time.
No problem. So there are some treaties that may need to be signed. I say just buy the land, like an embassy. Make four Bahamians agricultural ambassadors. Give them a staff and let them live at a diplomatic standard. Hire Haitians. Collect up all of the illegal ones from here and tell them, listen, farm for us for 20 years. We'll give you a pension. We'll be doing it for everybody else. So I think that is the only way to fix it. But I want the newer politicians and the older ones to also understand that, you don't always need to take the field trip. You have to always consider what your presence means when it's on the ground. Think about whether or not it is a distraction. It's the same reason I didn't want the prime minister at the hospital. It's nothing but a distraction. And hopefully the Progressive Liberal Party continues to do well. I'm watching these promotions. Hopefully we sort that out. These are people's lives we're talking about. They're not just numbers. and ranks, they happen to have names and families and children and that kind of stuff, light bills, car insurance. They want to know whether or not they're going to have that third baby because, you know, Bahamians are being overpopulated by other immigrant population. So maybe if I could get my promotion as supervisor, I could go, you know, talk sweet things inside Tawfan's ears and see if she's ready to go again. Anyway, that's my time. Thank you so much for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news. That's now.
Hands to the heavens. No man, no weapon formed against you.